Nehemiah chapter 4 and 1 Timothy chapter 6. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. That's what Nehemiah said. And today's what we're going to learn about today in Nehemiah. And if you haven't been here, that's okay because these are all standalone messages. But we're in a series on the book of Nehemiah. And we're in Nehemiah chapter 4 today. And I have entitled this message, and you'll notice it on the back of your bulletin, Under Attack. And, you know, I know, being your pastor, I know several of you in here, if you're alive and breathing, you're under attack. If you're a Christian that's trying to fulfill God's purposes and destinies and the will of God for your life, then you're under attack. But here's the deal. We fight. The key scripture today is, let me go ahead and get there, and I'll show you. Because we're going to talk about, we're on number 4 today about I will expect and reject opposition. And that's the title of this message, is Under Attack. And we're learning these 7 principles, putting it together again. Even though Nehemiah put the wall of Jerusalem back together again, you can apply these principles to your life, to your marriage, to your business, to your career, to your ministry, whatever, about putting things back together, rebuilding. Every one of us are in the rebuilding phase. When you get saved, you're saved in your spirit, but what we start rebuilding is our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so we're constantly a work in progress. Look at somebody and say, you're a work in progress. Every one of us in here are a work in progress. And we have an adversary, and it's Satan, the devil, Lucifer. We know that. But here's the deal, what I want you to know, and this is the title of the message, Under Attack, Lessons from Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to learn about 4 common weapons of the enemy, and he uses these against every one of us in here. And then I'm going to show you 4 proven steps to victory, how Nehemiah overcame each one of these weapons. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, is what Isaiah 54, verse 17 says. So remember that. But our key scripture today is 1 Timothy 6:12. I put this on social media this morning. And it's fight the good fight of faith. This is where the Apostle Paul told Timothy, you need to fight the good fight of faith. You need to, me and Kent prayed this morning about the baptism of fire. You got to have that Holy Spirit baptism of fire to stay in the fight, to keep refreshed. And the Apostle Paul even told Timothy, there's going to be days where you're just going to have to stir up that gift of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to stir it up and stay in the battle. So fight the good fight of faith is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. He's telling that to us today. And I just want to encourage you with this. Remember, because of Jesus, you're fighting from a place of victory because of what he did at the cross. Amen? About the resurrection. And we're fighting from a place of victory. You got to remember that. You're already a winner. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are blessed coming and going, and you've got to remember that. And you have to apply those things by faith because we do have an adversary. But you have to know that we are already winners. Look at somebody and say, you're a winner. All right, is everybody ready to learn something today? All right, if you have your bulletins and if you want to take notes, you can there on the back of the bulletin. All these messages are on hfchurch.com. You can go back and listen to them again. I encourage you to take this home and study it out for yourself. I believe that every one of us in here are going to learn something today. But the first weapon that the enemy uses against us is ridicule. It's one of the weapons that he is very good at. He's been doing this for ages. Another way to say this is he uses shame and guilt and ridicule to keep us put down. And this is found in Nehemiah chapter 4. And I'm going to put all these scriptures up here. I don't think I wrote every passage of scripture down on your bulletin or on your outline, but you can take notes as we follow along here. But I just encourage you to read Nehemiah chapter 4 and Nehemiah chapter 6 is where this story comes from. But it says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed, everybody say ridiculed, he ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, even a fox climbing up on it, would break down their walls of stone, their walls of stones. And so here they are, these guys. The enemy Just like God anoints people to do his tasks and his assignment, the enemy also uses people. And here's what I've also found is that the enemy can also use Christians that have open doors. I don't want to be that Christian, amen, that the enemy can use. So don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. And so one of the names in Scripture of the word of Satan in the Bible is the accuser. And that's in Revelation 12, verse 10. And this is what ridicule or shame or guilt does to us. It puts us down. It makes us want to quit. And it's always against us. I mean, the enemy is just like, who do you think you are? I'm sure Nehemiah had these thoughts, you know, from the enemy. Who do you think you are that you're coming in here and going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? And, you know, you're not going to get everybody to help you. In fact, you're going to get halfway through this and have to quit. And all this kind of ridicule is going on. And the enemy knows this. Our number one battleground is your mind. And that's why the Word says in Romans 12, 2, that we have to renew our mind according to the Word of God. You need to know who you are in Christ, especially in these last days, and all the time. I mean, even before the last days, you need to know who you are in Christ, but especially now, we need to know who we are in Christ. Look at somebody and say, it's time to grow up. It really is. Nehemiah teaches, everybody loves Pastor Mark today, right? Okay, because I'm going to challenge you today. This challenged me as well. Nehemiah teaches us that to defuse the weapon of ridicule, here's how you overcome the weapon of ridicule, shame, and guilt. You must choose, it's a choice, to redirect your thoughts. Yeah, and you have to renew your mind according to the Word of God. But one of the ways that we're going to see what Nehemiah did is how he redirected his thoughts was through prayer. Through prayer. And I'm going to tell who it is. It was Mark. I had a dad. We talked this week, and he was telling me about things that they're going through. And Jade and I are going through things. Every one of us in here are going through things. And I text Mark back, and I said, Mark, I know this is going to sound real Christian cliche, but you need to pray. Because what prayer does is redirect our thoughts. It redirects, we get our thoughts back on God. Sometimes we get so focused on the problem, we get so focused on the circumstances or the situation that we're going through that we lose sight of God. And so that's what prayer does, is get our sight, our senses, and everything about us back on the Lord. And this is what Nehemiah did. In Nehemiah 4, verses 4 through 6, he says, hear us, our God, for we are despised. And I know this is, I'm reading this out of the NIV, and I just want you to know, guys, that God wants you to bring your emotions to him, all right? Don't try to come spiritual, you know, sounding all good spiritually. You know, our Father who art in heaven, you know, when you're ticked off, all right? Because God's just like, okay, come on, get real with me. You know, you're ticked off, you're mad about the situation, tell him about it. A lot of the Psalms that David wrote is him pouring out his heart to God because he's mad about something, upset about something, disappointed about something, and by the time he gets done with that Psalm, God has changed his heart and changed his mind because he dumped it all out to God. Your best counselor is the Lord. I'm going to say that. Not your pastor, not your spouse even, okay? I believe in, you need to talk, don't walk out of here and say, I'm never talking to my wife again about anything or my husband about. No, that's your number one confidant is your spouse, all right? And also your pastor too. I'm here for everybody. But your number one person that you need to be going to with your issues, with your problems, with everything that you're going through is the Lord. Yes. And I promise you, He'll speak to you, and he'll lead and guide and direct you by his Holy Spirit in whatever you're going through. But this is what Nehemiah 4, 4 through 6, he says, hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. He's saying, God, sick them. God, get them. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. And I want you to notice I want you to know something. Just because the enemy was ridiculing him, just because the enemy was bringing shame and guilt towards him, they did not stop the work. They kept going. And sometimes that's what the enemy wants you to do, is to stop. He wants to ridicule you enough, shame you enough, guilt you enough, so that you'll stop doing what God's called you to do. Don't stop. Look at somebody and say, don't stop. Okay? Don't stop, because God's got big plans for you. But here's what happens in prayer. In prayer, God often works to redirect our thoughts in two very important ways. And here's number one. We are reminded that God's will includes opposition. I know you came to church to be encouraged. I'm telling you, when you're in God's will, you're doing God's will, you're going to face opposition. It's just part of it. In fact, 2 Timothy, and this is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You're going to be ridiculed. Things are going to happen. People are going to come against you, and you need to know that, and you need to realize that you've got to keep going. You're going to face it, but you got to keep going. Don't let it stop you. I thank God that we didn't let any kind of ridicule from the enemy stop this today. Amen? God is so good. There was times that I thought, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I had the same kind of the ridicule, the shame, guilt going on, and we started building this church out here, and the enemy was really attacking during that time, and like, well, what if you don't get it built? You're going to be the laughing stock of Leedy. And I was like, well, yeah, and I was starting to succumb to that fear and that worry and that anxiety, and then finally one day God says, Mark, did I not call you, and did I not say that this is what we're going to do? And I was like, yeah, you did. And he said, well, this is my deal, you know, so I'm going to take care of it. Now, you got to walk it out by faith and pray and do the things that you need to do, but I'm with you, and I'm going to take care of everything. And he has. He has proved himself time and time again. Now, there's been times like that song. I'm on this song right now, Good God Almighty by Crowder. I love that song. But there's a verse in there that talks about how we get amnesia sometimes and we forget about the blessings of God. And I'd been there a lot, and I was like, God, don't let me forget your blessings. Because that's how you overcome during these times when the enemy's attacking. You remember what God has already delivered you from and give him praise for it. All right, here's number two. Prayer helps us recognize the destructiveness of retaliation. That's what the enemy wants you to do, is get down and fight on his level. I'm always transparent with you guys, and so I use my stories a lot about us planting this church here. We've been here for 21 years. But when we first started, And I had to share this story this week at a pastor's meeting that we had in Oklahoma City, and I'll just tell you to you briefly. I was telling them, you know, the culture of Leedy, I grew up here, so I know the culture in my hometown. The culture of Leedy is a lot of pride and a lot of competitiveness, all right? And that's great. That can be a good thing. And you know, it's and I even told the story of my best friend over here, Mark, and I said, to the point where we're so competitive and so prideful that I have the coach of our high school team is in our church. He leads our praise and worship, and he's a big part of our ministry at Leedy, to the point where he came up to me and he said, Mark, I'm afraid that I'm going to be the first coach in years that doesn't make it through district at Leedy. And we prayed through, and they won district last year. Okay, don't ask about regional, all right? But we won district. We got through district. And so, yeah, amen. But that's the culture that's in Leedy, and it can be a good thing. But I grew up here, all right? But it's infiltrated into the churches. And there's a lot of pride and jealousy and competitiveness and stuff. Don't ask me how I know that, but I know. But I know it dearly and clearly. And we've made some headway over 21 years. Are we there yet? No, but we're getting there. We're getting better about it, realizing that we are the body of Christ here in Leedy. We're all on the same team. We're all going to the same place together. Let's work together. Let's do things together, and let's advance the kingdom of God. Amen? So what God spoke to me when we first planned this church here in town, because, you know, y'all have heard my story, most of you have, because I complained to guys like, God, a prophet's not welcome in his hometown. The Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, it's not my hometown. You're putting yourself too much in the equation. I was like, oh, God, I need to repent on that. Repented on that, said, okay, God, we're moving forward. And he said, Mark, there's only two things I need you to do. I need you to stay humble and keep working. Basically, stay humble and keep faithful. That's it. That's all I need you to do. And I'll do the rest. So, okay. And has it been challenging? Yeah. Have I ever wanted to defend myself? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've wanted to get on social media and just blast everybody, just like everybody else does. All right? Right? You know? This one day, I just like, God, can I have one day on social media and just get on there and just blast everybody, you know, and just have a good old time? And God's like, no, no, because that will destroy years of things that you've done up to this point, right? And so prayer helps us recognize the destructiveness of retaliation. God is the avenger. If there needs to be any kind of retaliation or vengeance, it's God's, not yours, okay? God just needs you to stay humble and keep going at the task that he's got you at. The enemy wants us, look, just this is powerful, guys. I knew when I was preparing this was like the part that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me. And whenever that happens, when I'm studying and preparing for Sundays, I know this is something that the Holy Spirit wants to get across to all of us. The enemy wants to distract you and getting caught up in a battle that is not part of the victory. Get caught up in doing what is right instead of proving them wrong. And everybody said, amen. And then let God do the rest. Let the chips fall where they need to fall. All right, that's number one. The first weapon is ridicule, and that's how you overcome it is through prayer and redirecting your thoughts and getting on God's page instead of someone else's page. All right, here's number two. The second weapon is direct attack. If the enemy can't get you through ridicule, shame, and guilt, there'll be a direct attack, all right? Now, we'll talk a little bit about this because this is in Nehemiah chapter 4, how this happened to Nehemiah. It says, but when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. So here's this direct attack that they're planning. And here's two truths about opposition or attacks. Number one is people ridicule a vision, but they try to destroy reality. Second thing is initial success doesn't silence opposition, it intensifies it. Sometimes we think, God, if I'll start having success, then the opposition will die down. No, that just intensifies it. That's how the enemy works. Now, this is what we have to do. When this is going on, when you know, and I don't have to tell anybody, I mean, if you're walking with God, you know when you're under direct attack or your family is, or maybe it's somebody, you know, maybe it's a child or whatever. There's things going on in our family right now. There's direct attacks happening. I've been praying against them, okay, praying God's blessings over them. And praying for the people that are involved. The most powerful, I just want you to hear this today, guys, and it's just like I told Mark, it's going to sound Christian cliche, but the most powerful thing that you can do over the things that you're going through in life is pray. Just pray, because that's how God's going to speak to you and lead and guide and direct you by His Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit is way smarter than anybody else in here, way smarter than me and anybody. He'll show you things, and it'll just blow you away of what He tells you to do. And it'll solve the situation. But here's what's going on. When you face attack, the strategy for success is to reposition your forces. And this is how God led Nehemiah. And how I'm going to share that with us and apply it for us today is that it's called change. Okay? You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. That's the definition of what? Insanity, right? And so there's going to be some things that the Holy Spirit does, you know, when you're under direct attack, He's going to say, change. That's, if you're under direct attack, that's a good time to say in prayer, God, where's a door open? Where's there a breach? What's going on? Holy Spirit, reveal to me. There's been times where I was like, I'm clueless, God. You know, in my natural mind, I'm clueless. I'll begin to pray and ask God, and then God will reveal something to me, you know, and show me that there's something going on. Nehemiah 4, verse 9 says, Nehemiah says, here again, prayer, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. That's how God led Nehemiah to take care of this situation. And so what they did was, in Nehemiah 4, verses 16 through 18, it says, from the day that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked, but the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. And this is the lesson: you continue to build while you fight. All right? Don't stop. Don't stop because there's attack. You got to keep moving forward. You keep moving forward by faith. You build while you fight. Now, guys, I want to back up and just say this. When I said reposition, that's what God spoke to Nehemiah when they were under attack. He said, here's what I need you to do, Nehemiah. Nehemiah, first of all, prayed, and he figured out that God wanted him to reposition his forces, reposition the troops. What that meant was that was change. Look at somebody and say, you need to change. And this either means two things. I was preaching. I always preach to Jada on the way here because she hears this message before y'all do. And I kind of give her a summary, and it kind of helps me to get it in me too. And I was telling her about this, and I said, Jada, this is where I'm going to tell all of us, including myself, to grow up. Because a lot of times what I figured out in my own life, when I'm under attack, it's an area where God is highlighting and saying, Mark, this is an area that you need to change. This is an area that you need to grow up, okay? And then I love how Jada put it, and it's a little bit sweeter. Jada goes, Mark, that's a place you need to surrender. I was like, oh, I kind of like that better, babe. That sounds more spiritual than grow up, you know? But that's really what's going on is that's an area where God's saying, I need you to grow up. I need you to surrender this. And then as you do, you'll start seeing the change happening that you need to overcome that attack. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number three. Everybody learning something? Halfway there. Number three. I love seeing these young people over here taking notes. The third weapon is discouragement. The third weapon is discouragement. How many of you have ever been discouraged? Well, that's a big one that the enemy uses against all of us. All right, and this is in Nehemiah chapter 4. Verses 10 through 12, it says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, all right? And I want you to remember, it took them 52 days to do this, all right? So the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. And I just love that because, you know, when somebody is discouraged and you get around them, it's just like, it's times 10, right? I mean, they're just like, just spewing out negativity and all that. And how you over, and I know this is going to sound really simple, but how you overcome discouragement is with encouragement. And encouragement means to put courage back in. Nehemiah, this is what he teaches us, that the answer to discouragement is to restore your confidence. Restore your confidence in Christ. Restore, I call it Godfidence. And that means to encourage, encouragement. Daniel 7, we're not going to turn there, but in the last days, and we're in the last days, in the prophet Daniel, in the book of Daniel, it talks about in chapter 7, verse 25, I don't have it up here, but you can write this down. But one of the ways that the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, is how he's going to overcome is to wear down the saints, all right? And guys, the enemy, that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work, all right? And so that's what he does is discourage and wear us down. When you're discouraged, you're wore down. You're wore down emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. I mean, it can wreak havoc in your life. Now, here's the answer what Nehemiah did in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. He says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. Notice he posted them by families. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Nehemiah, what he ends up doing as a leader, he chooses to encourage the people and he tells them, he encourages them through service and through worship. He gets families together and says, you're going to serve together in rebuilding this wall. And then we're also going to remember God and worship him at the same time. Now, the way that you overcome discouragement, guys, and I can't tell you this enough, is, and I've started trying to do this in my own life when I get discouraged, is the first thing you do is try to encourage somebody else. Just say, God, I'm discouraged, but I want to encourage somebody else, so who do I need to encourage right now? He'll give you a name, maybe somebody in your family or your church family or whatever, somebody you work with. You know, shoot them a text, call them, encourage them. That's how you overcome discouragement, is by encouraging someone else. The other thing you do, and Mark and the praise team did an awesome job picking out the songs this morning, is those kind of songs, you raise a hallelujah, start worshiping God, turn on some praise and worship music. This morning I have my walk-up songs before I walk up here, is what I call them, like you at sports, you know. And so I listen to Good God Almighty by Crowder. Another good song, if you don't know this one, is I Need a Ghost by Brandon Lake. I Need a Ghost, which is talking about the Holy Ghost. Those are two of my powerful songs. Those are my walk-up songs right now. And those change, you know, month to month as new songs release and stuff like that. But get you a walk-up song, amen? Get you a song that encourages you, and then just play it over and over and over. This morning we was wearing out Alexa at our house. We was like, Alexa, repeat. Alexa, repeat. And she just finally just stopped and just kept repeating it for us. I was like, good, she's learning. All right, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 on this one is, this is a big scripture. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I think one of the things that we all need to learn, including myself, is because when you're discouraged, what discouragement does is it causes us to get inward focused, all right? And then we start having a pity party. And then we start trying to call people to get on our pity party. And we're just going to have a pity party together. And what you need to learn how to do, and this is where spiritual maturity kicks in, this is where that growing up comes in, this is where that surrender comes in, is we need to start learning how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we do that through prayer and getting in the Word of God, listening to praise and worship music, and encouraging ourselves. You've got to learn how to encourage yourself, because Pastor Mark isn't going to be there all the time. Neither is your spouse, may not be there all the time. You know, you just need to learn how to encourage yourself. Look at somebody and say, you need to encourage yourself. You need to learn how to be your own cheerleader. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's the fourth weapon. Everybody learning something today? All right, number four, the fourth weapon is distraction. And I'm telling you, the enemy hasn't changed his tactics. These are these four weapons he still uses today and towards all of us. And Nehemiah battled three major distractions that we will all face when you're doing this walk by faith. And here's number one, is false opportunities. False opportunities. And the better way to say that, or the redneck way to say that, is the enemy will come along and tell you that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I love what one pastor said. He said, the reason why the grass is greener on the other side of the fence is because their septic tank is leaking. Okay? That's why it's greener on the other side of the fence. But Nehemiah 6, verses 1 through 2 says, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. God revealed to Nehemiah that, you know, that the enemy was making it look good, that they want to meet together. This is like a political meeting, and we're going to, you know, in unity, and we're going to get this all figured out and everything. And they said, hey, Nehemiah, why don't you come to the village in the plain of Ono? And this is what Nehemiah's response was, no to Ono. Okay, I'm not going to Ono. And sometimes the enemy will try to show you things that makes the grass look greener on the other side. It could be a career, could be a ministry, it could be, don't believe the lie of the enemy that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence in your marriage, because it's not, I promise you. There's just as much manure over there, all right, amen? That's why it's so green over there. Don't forget that, guys, okay? The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. And that's what God revealed to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, this is a trap. Don't fall for it. This is a false opportunity. Keep at the task, all right? Finish those gates. Here's the second thing. This is another big one that we all have to deal with, is gossip, all right? If he can't get you through false opportunities, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, he's going to try to get you through gossip. And this is Nehemiah 6, verses 5 through 7. It says, then the fifth time Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are rebuilding the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king. So here's where the gossip, the rumor mill, the grapevine gets started. And have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. He was basically telling him, hey, gossiping and stirring up this word that, hey, Nehemiah is leading a rebellion, and because he wants to be king. It was pure gossip, rumor mill, causing a lot of problems, all right? Guys, gossip is a bad thing. Gossip destroys churches, destroys ministries. It's not good. And so whenever you start hearing gossip, and one of the things I always, you know, over the years, people have come to me, well, they're saying, as I always say, who's saying it? I want to know who, so I can go talk to them, you know, because and it ends up being, they make it sound like it's a whole bunch of people and it's one person that's doing all the gossip and stirring up trouble. And don't be that person. Look at somebody and say, don't be that person. All right, this is Romans 1:29, and I just want to show you this scripture where gossips are thrown into and show you the crowd that they hang with. It says in Romans 1, verse 29, it says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips. Whoa. I don't want to be a gossip. And everybody said, don't want to do that. All right, guys? And I love how Nehemiah responded. This is how, if you need to put this on your refrigerator or you're in your vehicle, because this is how you respond to gossips. Nehemiah 6, verse 8, I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you're saying is happening. You're just making it up out of your head. There's your scripture for gossips, guys. Just send them back, Nehemiah 6, 8. Go read it, and it'll solve the problem for you. All right, so we don't want to deal with gossip. Here's the last thing. The third way that the enemy tries to distract us is through fear. This is, and I'm going through these pretty quick, but fear is a big one, guys, that spirit of fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, but of love and power and a sound mind. This is Nehemiah 6, verse 10. It says, one day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Delilah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in at his house. And he said, let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they're coming to kill you. This was to strike fear in Nehemiah. And I love how Nehemiah responded. He said, but I said, should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate, there's that word intimidate, fear, intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. And I just want to tell you something about this, guys. Not everything that is prophesied over you or to you is something you need to listen to. It needs to line up with what God is speaking to you. All right? That's the confirmation. Nehemiah overcame false opportunities, gossip, and fear by staying focused on God and his priorities. That's how he overcame it, was through focus. Look at somebody say, stay focused. Last scripture today. Nehemiah 6, verses 15 through 16 says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul, that is actually the month of August. In 52 days they did this task. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Isn't that awesome? I love that scripture. So here's the sermon in a summary today. And I'll send you these notes anytime I send these notes out to everybody. Is victory comes from our relationship with God, guys. I hope you're getting this from Nehemiah. It was through his prayer life, through his relationship with God. Nehemiah talks to God in prayer. He follows God in the changes and what God's asked him to do. He listens to God in his encouragement, and he lives by means of God's priorities through God's word. He He stays focused at the task. And that's how you overcome the enemy. That's how you overcome any kind of attack. And everybody said amen. Did everybody learn something today? Okay. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And just want to lead you in a prayer. We do this every Sunday. Just want to make sure that everybody that's here, those that are watching this online, and those that listen to this on the radio next Sunday, that they are saved, that they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want the honor and the privilege to lead you in a prayer of salvation today. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now I want to pray over all of us in here this morning, then I'm going to speak a blessing over here in just a second. Father, we thank you for this word today. Lord, I just pray that you would sow this word deep into our hearts, God, because I know that every one of us in here, we have the same, help us realize we have the same enemy. We're not enemies against each other, but we have an enemy. We have a foe. And but God, you've given us the weapons of our warfare mighty through you, God, for the pulling down of strongholds and everything that the enemy has come against us with. And I just pray, God, that we would realize, that we would know, God, have the revelation that we are fighting from a place of victory because of what Jesus did at the cross and because of the resurrection. God, I thank you that we know how to overcome the ridicule, the shame, and the guilt of the enemy today. We know how to overcome a direct attack. We know how to overcome discouragement, and we know how to overcome distractions today. And so, God, I just thank you for that. I pray that you sow this word deep into our hearts, God, so that when those attacks do come, that we rise above them, that we overcome, and that everyone around us can see your glory. And so, God, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And I just bless your people today and keep them protected, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. All right, I believe in the power of blessing. And this comes out of Numbers chapter 6. Verses 24 through 26. So I want you to receive this blessing today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you guys. You're blessed. Love you guys. Have a great week.